You have your Bibles, go with me to the book of John chapter 4. And I want to speak about this morning. Yes, ma'am.
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
And we declare this morning that the devil is a liar.
Yes, yes. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. More disciples than John. Though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Now it was necessary that he go through Samaria. Excuse me, I got something in my eye. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being exhausted from his journey, sat down by the well. And it was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came there to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, along with the sons of his life and his livestock?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not thirst nor come draw here. And Jesus said to her in verse 16, Go call your husband and come here. The woman answered, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You are right in saying I have no husband. For if you had, or for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. So you have spoken truthfully. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. But you all say that in Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Notice this. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Yet the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father to the Spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. I want to talk about this morning having a commitment to worship. Father, I thank you for this time, and Lord, I just thank you for this your presence that is in this place. We're here to honor you, but most importantly, Lord, we're here to worship you. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me, anoint my words, what I speak, anoint my thoughts, Lord God, before they're even spoken. May they be formed in the heavenlies, Lord, not just what is prepared on a page, God, but more so what you once said. And open our hearts and anoint, Lord God, our ears to receive what thus saith the Lord God today. For Lord, today I believe the hour is now for true worshipers to arise and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, your will be done in this time, and you would be honored and glorified. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm just going to tell you right off, this is going to be a little different this morning. But I want us to understand and have a true understanding what worship is really about. Because for so long we have come to an idea of what we think worship is. And I want to start off with this thought about what is really true worship. We read in this story about this woman coming to the well and Jesus having this great interaction. And I can spend, you know, there's several ways you could take this passage of Scripture. Because the communication and the interaction between him and her really, if you really break that down, has some really great things that, but I want to focus on the part about worshiping. That God is seeking true worshipers. And every Sunday we come into church and around the world there are people that go into churches and houses of worship to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ. But yet, in some of the way they worship, some just go and some, well, we ain't going to say call it. We don't call it worship. They attend. I need Brother Pelt's organ play. Sister, we're going to get Sister Mary an organ. She's going to tear up an organ here in a little bit. But think about worship. Because how we worship really defines us. Are we a worshiper of God? I don't know about you, but before anything else I do, I mean, I love being called husband. I love being called dad. And here about, you know, a few weeks, months, or whatever, I'm going to be called grandpa. And I'm excited about that title. I'm excited about these things because these are not just to me titles, but they're places of honor and also responsibility. But as a Christian, so many times we have cheapened the word Christian. Are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you cuss like a sailor. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I do everything.
to what that book says.
Hello.
I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to go to church. I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to be around God's people. I'm a Christian, but I don't really believe in prayer.
Hello?
Christian means follower of God. And if I'm a Christian, I am a follower of Him. I am following the teachings of Christ. I am a Christ follower. And how we worship defines who we are. If I say I'm a follower of Christ, but yet I don't worship Him, then I'm not really a follower of Him. And there are people that come to church all the time, say they're Christians, but yet don't worship. Some have their identity tied in the church that they attend. I know in some places, and some places we've lived before, you know, everyone, all the business folks had to go to the big church uptown. Because that's where all the business, you know, and there were more business dealings being done before and after, and yeah, sometimes maybe during church, than it was really worshiping God. Some people wanted to go to that church so they would be seen that, oh, wait, we are people of prestige. And they didn't care about why they went. They just cared about who was there so they could see them there. People leave churches because they disagree. We don't like the color of the carpet, so we're going to the one that's got the blue carpet. Think about it. I mean, when you really look at church splits and how people have left churches and the reason why people left church, I know sometimes there are some legitimate reasons. Don't get me wrong. I had one guy one time, I mean, we was passing a church and we were breaking 100 on a weekly basis and God was moving. I mean, we were seeing great things. Ministries were going forth. We were feeding the hungry. We were doing a lot of great things. And then all of a sudden, the guy that was supposed to be my associate come to me and says, you know, Pastor, God's really told me I need to go plant a church. Okay. You know, hey, I'm going to support. Let's birth churches. I'm all about it. Then he began to tell me that he wants to go plant a church down the street. I said, well, wait a minute. Why do you need to go plant a church down the street when we got this right here? You need to preach more? Okay, and I had him preach quite a bit. But he just decided, and he come to find out that then he come out, the truth came out. He just went down the street, but in the process, he had already went behind my back and took my worship team, was telling lies behind my back, and split the church. A lot of people that left, not all of them came back, but many of them came back and said, they were embarrassed and said, Pastor, we should never have left. We were deceived. But you stop to think why we come to church. Why do we worship? See, we come to church to worship. We come to church to hear from God. We come to church for God to speak. Because God will speak to us, yes, in our prayer closet. God will speak to us in our individual lives, but God will also speak to us as a body. God operates. You read the Bible, God operates through the body of Christ. It is the body He wants to operate from. Because when He said, I will build my church, that church is not just a singular term meaning one individual, although this individual is a part of the church. I'm not the church, I'm a part of the church. We are the church. And this is why we have to understand the importance of this. People stay out of church for some funny reasons too. Oh, a raindrop fall. I can't come to church because it's raining. I can't come to church. It's too hot. It's too cold.
Hello?
None of you have said that. I know that. We don't, we come to church. Well, I'm going to be good for a minute. But think about why we come to church and why some people don't come to church. I'm afraid. Think about the last year or so. COVID. I may get COVID. I may get, honey, you may get the cooties. Come on now. But are we going to let fear override our faith?
I go on? Lice are real. We don't do head checks, everybody. You know, we can't. We do head checks. Check heads, because we don't, you know, we don't want those kids in, you know, those creepy little critters, you know. I've been in some camps. We had to send some kids home. We had some kids that came in. This one kid, bless his heart, he cried. Because we were getting ready to send him home. And we said, well, the only alternative is we shave your head. He goes, shave it. We shaved it. He stayed in camp. But I didn't hear none of the other kids say, oh, he's got lice, which we don't announce it. But, you know, oh, he's got lice. I can't come to church. I can't come to camp. Think about it. You're, you know, saying where there's a will, there is a way. If we really want to worship, we're going to make a way. If we really want to get into the presence of God with our brothers and sisters, ain't nothing going to stop us. I can't tell you, and I'm not trying to hear, I'm not trying to stand up here and pat myself on the back, but you know, there's times I should have been in bed when I was in church. There's times I've come with a 100-plus fever, and Sherry will tell you, she begged me, she says, honey, you're sick, you need to stay home. And I said, no, I got to go to church, and I would go to church, and I'd drag myself up here, and I felt like death warmed over, but as soon as I began to preach, the Holy Spirit would hit me, and the anointing would hit, and I would preach, but once I got done, the anointing lifted, yeah, I was back, you know. But the fact of the matter is, the anointing will do more than what we give him credit for. You see, a lot of times we want certain conditions to worship. Well, the thermostat's got to be set at 69.5 for me to worship. If it's above 70, oh, it's too hot. I know it's a little warm in here right now, but just think hell's hotter. The bathrooms must be clean. I've known some people that went and checked out churches, and they checked the bathroom out first, and the bathroom weren't clean, they didn't come back. Show you something here in a minute. The song selection must be anointed and likable to my choosing. Some people want the old red back hymnals. If you don't sing now the old red back hymnals, bless God, I'm not coming to church. That's not worship. And then you got some other folks that, well, if you don't sing Hillsong and Elevation Worship and Jesus Culture, that's newer style to me, for those that may not know. If you don't sing the new stuff, then I can't come to church. You know what I say? Bring on our old redback hymnal, but also give me some Jesus Culture. It don't matter to me. As long as it lifts up the name of Jesus, I don't care. There's some songs, and I've said this before, there's some old songs I won't sing because I don't think they lift up Jesus. I don't think they're biblical. But also there's some new stuff. It don't talk about Jesus one bit. I don't want to sing a song about myself. It's not about me. It's about him. And I've come to sing and to worship him. We got to keep the main thing, the main thing. That's what worship is about. We must have the right kind of people in church so we can attract the right kind. I've heard people say that. Come on. What would you do if some black folk rolled up in here? Some Hispanic folk rolled up in here and started singing next to you in Espanol? Come on now. I don't know about you, but I'd be excited. I would say, Gloria al nombre de Jesus. I would say, worship God. Let's worship God. I will thank God for the Spanish in the community. I will thank God for all the cultures that are around, because it don't matter what color your skin is. What matters is what's in your heart. Is Jesus Lord of your life? Come on now. Anybody have just a plain white wall in your house with nothing on it? You look at it, man, that's bland. Some of that will soak in here in a minute. Gotta have some color. Nobody better take my spot. I've heard the stories. Well, I know some people. Not here, but I've known some places, some people at other places. New people come in and sit in their spot, they'll look at them like, that's my spot. that somebody takes your spot, you know what I say? God wanting to move you. God's one wanting to do a move in you. Hello, come on, somebody. And if somebody took our spot, praise God. That means growth is happening. You've got new faces coming in. They want your spot because you got something, you know, they sent something in that spot that you picked. And then my always all-time favorite is that people don't like or left the church because pastor didn't shake my hand. Pastor didn't shake my hand. He didn't say hi to me or he didn't smile at me. Say there's a whole lot of you than there is of me. I mean, let's just be honest, okay? Let's get real for a second. You know, if we were in a fight, I'd lose. All you versus me, I'd take some of you out. I'm not that weak. Then Sherry would kick me in the knee and I'd go down and it's over. So she don't play fair. Some people complain about this. Yeah. Think about it. Now, years ago, you know, I recall, I think I've been a few. Well, I have been in a few outdoor services, outdoor tabernacle services. I know we went to Missouri. First camp meeting in Missouri, they use an outdoor facility. And I thought, kid from California going to Missouri, and I'm thinking, really? I mean, we're all up in suits. And I, of course, you know, I'm experiencing humidity. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, really? We got to worship? We got to wear this out there? But you talking about some of the most powerful services I believe, you know, that we ever had was in that outdoor. Then we went indoor, you know, and we still had good services, but I still think those outdoor services were some of the best. It would be raining outside. There'd be times it'd rain and just, I don't know, Brother Gordon, sometimes it just rained at the right time, you know. Of course, the old brush sharpers, right? Yeah. I wonder sometimes if we went back to that, how would we worship? Let me ask you this. How would you worship in this place? Would you worship here? Some of you think. Now, I want to remind you, you think the humidity you've had around here is hot? And you think the humidity in Louisiana is hot? This is in El Salvador. But would you worship in a place like this? Go to the next one. What about your Sunday school rooms? Would you worship here? This is a child Sunday school room. And some people, believe it or not, there's some people that wouldn't take their dog to a place like this. Not only was it, you're out there in the elements, yeah, you had a cover over you, but you had bugs around. And anything and everything that walked up. We think sometimes we got it rough here. But think about how other people worship. Oh, I mentioned the bathrooms. Would you use this bathroom? I know
Church isn't, worship isn't just about having a beautiful facility and the plushes of life and the cushiness of life here. Worship is about where, who you are. Remember I said worship defines you. Will you worship God here or there? Would you worship God? Go to the next one. Would you worship God in a place like this? You ain't got walls. You barely got electricity. But you got a cover, thank God. But people would come to get, look how cramped in they are. And they'd come together and they'd worship. Church, we got to get back to make the main thing again. And making worship about Him again. And making worship about giving Him honor and giving Him praise. Go to the next one. There's worship there where people, the entire, this church had 65 members. And then you can see it's not that big of a place. Basically big enough for a car to pull in there. But they would worship God on the side of a mountain and worship God. And then when it comes to church, here's the thing. You've seen earlier, you know, the picture before, all the chairs out. This is what usually churches are before church. And then they'd come and bring that little room behind there. They'd bring the chairs out from there and all their equipment. They'd bring it before church. And then after church, they'd pack it all up. Speakers as big as this, I've seen people carry for miles so they can get to church to bring the sound equipment and set it up to worship. What if he was in charge of carrying that speaker for a mile? No, I can't do it today. You see, sometimes we think we got it so rough, but when we look at others and see how they worship, it really helps us put back in perspective. Because church, I really, and you say, well, why are you talking about this? Why are you showing this? You didn't go on no mission trip recently. No, this is actually from several years ago. But here's the fact of the matter is, we got to realize what worship is about. Because church, in these last days in which we are living in, if we don't learn how to worship God and worship Him in spirit and in truth, then we ain't going to survive in these last days. We're not going to make it. And I told you earlier about the gentleman that deceived so many people and they left. Guess what's happening even now? There are people that are standing up in the name of God that are deceiving people and they're leaving the house of worship by the droves because they get a little bit of gospel and they go upon that and not read the word for themselves and to see what is true and what's not. The enemy says, you know, the Bible tells us the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. We talk about the kill part, but we forget about the stealing part. He's stealing your faith. He wants to kill you, but he wants to steal your faith. He wants to steal your foundations. He wants to steal your heritage. He wants to steal where you come from and realize who you are. He wants to steal everything that is God about you and take it from you and tell you a lie so you will quit worshiping Him. This next picture to me was one of the most touching places I have ever been in my life. Look at this place. Pictures do not do it justice. Yes, they have a metal roof. But that is, yes, what you're seeing right, bamboo wall that is cut up about halfway up. That was kind of around the building. But what touched me the most, and I was so captivated by this, and I never got the full story of why, and I don't think really anybody kind of, they just did it. But right there, that lower, well, you see there in the middle, it's kind of, the picture's kind of hard, but I'm standing in front of it. It's a tree trunk. That's what that is, a tree trunk that they cut off. It started to fork, and somebody had the foresight to cut that off in just the way, and they took two boards, and that's what you see there in that top right, two boards they put in there, and that was the pulpit. Wasn't a beautiful, you know, nice wood piece piece of furniture, you know, that has, you know, a mic built in, or a mic, you know, ran through it. It wasn't a place where you could set your water and, you know, got your oil and all your other goodies right here. No. You just, all you had room for was your Bible. But some, I know, well, I was privileged enough because we built a new facility when we was in New Mexico, and I got the privilege of going back 2 years later, and I didn't bring a picture for that. I'll do that later. But the brand new facility that we were able to build for them, and I preached their dedication service. You see what worship is about?
Yes.
We think sometimes we got it rough, and we think sometimes, you know, oh, conditions got to be just so. Worship ain't about what's around you. Worship is about what's in you. Because if you are a true worshiper of God, I was reading over the text this morning, and this kind of hit me this morning. And I preached this message. I preached this passage different ways, you know. And like I said, I've got several messages and sermons I've preached on this. But, you know, but it says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this hit me this morning. I'm sure it may be in some of my notes, but just kind of like I wasn't prepared to say this till this morning. I was reading over the text again and just kind of getting the word in me more and just praying for the message this morning. And here's something. Spirit and in truth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, the spirit, we know we must worship him in spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know we must worship him in the spirit because God is spirit. We must have the spirit, the Holy Spirit within us to worship. But then that word truth, and I'm reminded of what Jesus said in John, or later on in John, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. And so if we take that understanding, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and truth, Jesus, they that worship him must worship him through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, number one, you must have the blood. No one comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. Well, how does the Spirit draw him? The Holy Spirit convicts men to come to Christ. The blood of Christ is applied upon their life to present them holy and pure before the Lord. And see, we need the Spirit and truth. We need the Spirit and Jesus. We need that. And of course, I preached early months ago about the Trinity. We, you know, all three work, the perichoresis, all three working intertwined and interchangeable with one another in one mind and one accord and in unison. And we got to understand that if we're going to worship God, we got to understand that we got to allow, you know, number one, we got to appreciate and understand the blood and our salvation that Christ has made us free and understand that we come to him because of the blood. That if it wasn't for the blood, we would not be able to stand here today and declare ourselves righteous before God. But it is also by the Spirit that we must understand that through the Spirit, in him I move and have my being. You know, we got to understand that the Spirit empowers me and enables me to do things that I may not be able to do otherwise. And thanks be to God for the Spirit that empowers us to stand up and to boldly proclaim the word of the Lord and to boldly proclaim the promises of God to other people. And we got to get this, that if I'm going to be a worshiper of God, then I've got to boldly proclaim the word over people's lives. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But how can I declare the word and how can I speak the word unless I get the word in me? That's why Bible studies are so important. That's why personal devotions are so important. That's why this Bible that we have is so important. That we've got to be a worshiper of God. Because if we don't get this, we've been talking on Wednesday night about Revelations. And talking, you know, we've talked about the rapture, and we've talked quite a bit, and we've talked about several things involving the rapture, those in heaven, those that are worshiping God, and those that are around the throne, those that are, you know, that those that go up in the first load, that will be in heaven during the tribulation, will be worshiping God. And those that aren't, they'll come later. but they have a harder road to walk. And my thought is this, and sometimes people just, I'm getting so frustrated sometimes with people's approach to God. God is God and you're not. He sets the rules, you don't. God is not our slave, nor is he our servant. He is not our bellboy or our butler. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Before we were even formed in our mother's womb, he knew us. Why? Because he was there. He was there in the beginning. God created. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit was in the beginning to create all heavens and earth, and even to create us and to call into us and our breathe into us and man to become a living soul. So if he is all that, and we understand the omnipotence and omnipresence of God and the omniscience of God and realize that he is such a powerful being, then where do we get off commanding him to do things for us? Well, Pastor, we're told to go boldly before the Lord. But if you ain't his, you ain't got the right to come boldly. He gonna listen to those. He said, my sheep know my voice and will not follow another. There's the key. Who are we following? Because who you're following is who you are worshiping. There are many people today sitting in churches across America, hear me, that they're worshiping themselves, or they're worshiping an idea or an ideology than they are Christ. They're more about the band, the worship music, not the one they're supposed to be singing to. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've seen some of these famous worship groups behind the scenes. And I've seen some, yes, they're worshiping God. I've seen some, People in Songs is one of my favorite groups, because I've seen them behind stage and they're not sitting there just drinking their lattes and they're just hanging out. No, you know what they're doing while preachers are going on? Many of them, they're there on their knees and their face before God, or they're off in a corner praying, seeking God, because they realize when the altar service, they're not on stage and nobody sees them. But when it's their time to come back on stage and lead people in worship, they're coming back with an anointing upon them to lead people and continue the flow of the presence of God. But there's others that will sit back there and they'll just talk and they'll just hang out and do their thing backstage when nobody's seeing them, and they think they're the greatest thing and everybody thinks they're the greatest thing. But it's backstage is when you really get to know somebody. It's when no one's looking around is really where you get to know whether they're of God or not. Hello? We can come in here and we can look the part, we can raise our hands and we can shout bigger than anybody else, but if we're not living the life behind the scenes, then we're not really a true worshiper of God. We'll come in here and we'll sing God's songs, but that's the only place we'll sing God's songs. I said that one, some of these songs I sang earlier is some that, listen, when nobody else is around, not even Sherry, and I'll just when I'm worshiping God and I'm just trying to get the mind of God, I'm trying to get an answer from God, I'll break out and sing myself. I don't need a piano. I don't need a bass. I don't need music. I just got me and God. And that's really where true worship comes down to, is that you'll worship God whether nobody else is around. You'll worship God because you realize you got to get in his presence. You got to get somewhere where you can hear from God and you got to touch the hem of his garment. You need answers or you need a breakthrough. It's going to come when you learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth. Worship ain't about a building. This is a great facility. Yes, we need to take care of the things of God. We need to be good stewards with this facility and the equipment and be good stewards. We see a need. Yes, we need to respond. But it's never about a building.
Because you could have the best building with the best technology. I mean, come on now. And I appreciate what Sister Mary said and Liz. But listen, we could have a brand 2022 church van, but it ain't going to do no good if there's not people in here worshiping God. We can have all the technology, lights, and all that fun stuff, but that don't mean a hill of beans if nobody's here in his presence. Pictures I showed you, they didn't have all the fancy stuff. There was one place we had, there was one plug-in. One. And it was one because they ran on a generator. That's the only way they could get electricity, was a generator. It ran the lights. It ran the what little sound equipment they had. But they sang with all their might and worshiped the Lord with all that they had. That's what worship is about. Worship is not about a place. Worship is defined by us. Are we a worshiper? Listen, I don't care if we call us the best singer, the best church, the best. Just call me a worshiper. Because I've read so many stories, and I know you have too, in this book. In Joshua, we read about the great wall of Jericho. Right? Anybody remember that story? They marched around the city, but who was in front? The worshipers. The army was not in front. So many times we want to put the army out front. We want to show our might. And oh, we'll put the worshipers in back. Mm-mm. We got to get our worship up front. Because before you go into battle, you got to learn how to worship before you go into the battle. Because if you learn how to worship God before the battle, then you'll realize the battle is not mine, but the Lord's. You will understand before you lift one sword, or you throw one spear, or you pull one bow, you will understand the battle is not mine, it's God's. He has given me victory because of what He can do, not what I can do. And if I learn to worship my way before my storms, then I will learn. Because if we worship before the storm, then it will keep us worshiping in the storm. What did I say Satan wanted to do? He wanted to steal. Yeah. Steal my worship. Right. But we got to worship in the storm. I got to hurry. We got to worship in the storm, and it will help us in the storm. It will help us understand that no matter what happens, in the storm, that this too shall pass. Worship. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to learn to worship. Listen, worship ain't just... No. Yeah, we can clap our hands in worship. We do, and that's fine. But if that's it... Now, some of y'all were at camp meeting the other night. Wednesday night, camp meeting. There was a little section there in the front. Brother Pell was preaching. And if you want to, I would recommend, go back on the Kentucky Church God website, and maybe they got them there. You can go back and watch the messages. They were powerful messages. All five of them, the evening services were great. But I was getting kicked, and I was worshiping God, but I was also getting kicked out of this one gentleman, because this brother, he was all dressed up, he looked great, but he was doing this. He was jumping too, but I can't do what he was doing. And I was telling Caitlin and Ryan about it. I was kind of jealous, wishing I could do that. But he wouldn't just do this and jump. He'd turn around and he would, and every so he had a shofar about that long, and he'd bring it out and blow it, and the guy was, if nobody else would worship, I knew this dude was going to worship by himself. Amen. And I thought to myself, this is what worship is. That if I got to do it by myself, I'm going to worship.
worship him. If I'm the only one who will lift my hand, then fine, I'll lift my hand. I'm not ashamed to worship God. I'm not ashamed to shout. I'm not ashamed to dance in the Lord. I'm not ashamed to lift my voice. Because true worship is what's going to get me through. True worship, Brother Joey, is what's going to sustain me in my storms. True worship is what's going to get me over the crises I got to face. I want to give you a time. I want to preach on this someday, but I just want to give this to you, this phrase, and I want you to hold on to it. Worship, say it with me. Worship, say it again. Worship is my weapon. Worship is my weapon. Some of you are going to get that here in a minute. We talk about, yeah, I got the sword. The sword is my weapon. The sword is, that sword. The sword of the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But what do you do with it? What do you do with the sword? I can go around all day long. I got a sword. See my pretty sword? Isn't it pretty? But if I don't know how to use it, what good is it? I got my Bible. Take that, devil. Anybody remember Floyd LeHun? He was known as a Bible thumper preacher. He laid his Bible on people, they'd fall out. And, we tried to do that with Satan. And Satan looked at us and laughed. But worship, when I learned how to put that to use in worship, worship is when I lift my hands and I do my little dance or whatever. Worship is not just when praise and worship music goes on. Worship is when I pray. Worship is when I speak. When I do anything unto God, it is worship. When I give a cup of cold water, I am worshiping God and honoring Him by giving to others. Worship is not just one single thing. Worship is multiple things as we do it before the Lord. Facilities should not define our worship. I gotta hurry. I'm about done. Remember, worship is not a place, but worship is in the person. Worship is about who I am, not what I do. Even the devil can lift his hands. I'm a worshiper of God, and it's not a matter of where I am. Can you worship God in church? Oh, I hope you can. Can you worship God on the job? Definitely say, I'm making a joyful noise unto the Lord. But as you're doing it with all your heart and doing it unto God, it is worship. Listen, anytime a child of God opens its mouth up to the Lord, it is a sweet sound to Him. Anytime we open up our mouths, it is a sweet sounding symbol unto the Lord. So I want to ask you this. Worship team, come on up. I'm landing this plane. True worship is the last slide, Joey. True worship is defined by you, not where. And I want to ask you this, and I said this, I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to ask you this. How's your worship? Sometimes we feel like we got to be pumped up for worship. We sing the slow songs.
Yes. Yes, Pastor.
That song, Heart of Worship, think about it. I'm coming back to a heart of worship. What does it say? When it's all about you. It says, I'm sorry for the thing I've made. about us. It's about me.
Amen.
It's about my need. Church, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. You're going through a crisis. I mean, a lot of times when we're going through something, that's the main thing we think about. Especially when we're hit with it initially. That's all you can think about is, Lord, what am I going to do? But then that's when we've got to answer that question, Lord, what am I going to do? Well, the answer is in the question, the Lord. I will turn to the Lord and I will worship Him. Because when the enemy comes against me, what did I say earlier? Worship is my weapon. When I don't know what else to do, the Bible says when you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Stand.
Amen.
When I don't know where else to turn, I turn to the Lord. And sometimes that's a shame that we've done all things that we went to, that God is the last result, not the first. But hopefully, I look at it this way, hopefully somewhere in all our searches, because listen, we know the world is searching for something, but they don't know. There's a lot of them that don't know about the Lord. So they're trying anything and everything to help solve their problems. But we turn to God's, maybe at the beginning, maybe in the middle, maybe at the end. But don't just cry out to Him. Worship Him. Church, how are we making our, how is our worship? How is our worship? Stand with me this morning. How is our worship? Why are you talking about this, Pastor? I'm saying this because the hour is now that God is desiring true worshipers. The times which we live in, the world is looking for answers and they need a holy man or a holy woman of God that's going to stand up and say, let's worship God. Let's get into His presence. You see, when we worship, it invokes His presence to come. Many of you know what I'm talking about. When you're by yourself and you begin to worship God, His presence comes into that room where you are. And guess what? Where the presence of the Lord is. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. So where I worship God and invoke His presence, no matter what I'm going through here on earth, something's got to move. Something's got to give. The enemy that's been plaguing me and hounding me, when I worship God and the presence of the Lord comes into my midst, he got to go. He cannot abide. And I want to challenge you this morning. I'm going to be preaching a lot more on worship in the coming weeks, because I believe there's something about our worship we got to get right. Oh, Pastor, I've been serving God for years. I've worshiped Him all my life. You know what? I have too. But I still don't feel like I got it all together. Because I don't walk on water. And I realize it's not about me. Every new day brings a new challenge. Every new day is going to challenge my worship. And the people of God that are going to sustain in these last days and the people that are going to thrive. Listen, I don't know about you. I don't want to sustain. I don't want to maintain. I don't want to just get by. I want that John experience, that John 10:10 experience, that you would have life and have it to its fullest. I want to not be on the defense. I want to be on the offense. Anybody with me?
Amen.
But I believe we need to worship. If you're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I'm going through something. I'm going through some crises. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to sing this song and begin to worship. And here in a moment, as I call forth a prayer, I want you to come and we're going to pray. We're going to pray together and believe God together. For God to see you through these things and God to give you the victory. But first, let's worship the Lord.